Good morning. Good morning and welcome this first Sunday in Advent to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first or second time worshiping with us, we are glad that you are here. There is a lot going on in our family of faith this month. Check out the ways that we are church together in your bulletin. Lots of calendars and announcements, and also your Harbinger if you have not already received it. It is on its way, or you can pick up a copy out in the hallway following worship. This morning we are celebrating the sacrament of communion. And as many of you know, we've been kind of on an experiment to be as inclusive as possible as we can for all who are worshiping with us. And I think we've settled on the best way forward. So if you are gluten-free or have any sort of allergies, please note that on all of the plates, there are gluten-free wafers. So please utilize those only if you have an allergy to gluten or dairy. And as we celebrate the season of Advent, I also welcome everyone here to the sanctuary every Wednesday from 6 until 6:30 for a time of silence and prayer. Everyone is welcome. And the Spiritual Formation Committee would like me to remind you that the Big Bang is on and tickets are for sale. Please see Peter Derry following worship if you would like to learn more or purchase one of those tickets. And we've got a few other announcements. Folks promised they'd keep them short. Eric, we'll get started with you.
Good morning. Two quick things. First, from the Public Worship Committee, I've been wandering around and some of you have seen me. If you have purchased a book plate hymnal for the new hymnals coming out next year, I have confirmation, so it's hard for me to find all of you in a short amount of time. So if you purchase the book plate, find me. I'll give you yours. I'll be outside after worship today. Then secondly, from membership and hospitality, we run the parking lot service during the winter months, and we're a few people short this year. So if you can help out at all with that valuable service, please make a note in the hospitality register, or again, find me and let me know, because it really is helpful to a lot of people, and we need to keep that going. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to remind all the women in the church that haven't bought their tickets for the candlelight dinner, which is going to be held at Brooklyn Country Club this year. The dinner is Tuesday, December 11th. Today is the last day that I'll be selling tickets that are $18 a person. If you don't have your money with you and you still want to go, I am calling Brooklyn on Friday. I don't know what date that is. December 7th, I believe it is. Also, we have a tradition every year that we bring personal items for the Alternative Battered Women's Shelter. We still will be doing that this year, and I'm looking for some volunteers to be able to scoop those up and get those down to the shelter after the dinner. So I wanted to kind of give you a heads up instead of on the night of. So we have about 60. Hopefully we'll have more. So look forward to seeing you. Thanks.
Good morning. This Friday night is the Family Advent Festival, and everyone, all ages, are invited and welcomed. It will be a fun night and filled with faith activities and crafts and everything, so we hope that you all can make it. There's a sign-up on the kiosk. Thank you.
Good morning. I have messages from your Mission and Peacemaking Committee. First of all, I'm sure you all noticed the cars and the collection going on in the parking lot this morning. Thank you to everyone who brought in SWEM meals. They're being delivered probably even as we're speaking. A reminder also that food is collected year-round. There's a shelf in the corridor on the way to the fellowship hall, so if you didn't remember to bring a box today, food is always welcome and needed in the community. Secondly, the mitten tree is up in the corridor in the new addition. Those items that are on the tree, scarves, hats, mittens, will go to DePaul services right here on Buffalo Road. So bring in your mittens. Thirdly, there are still some items out on the Cameron tree. Those items are due back by the 16th of December. They're fun to shop for, especially if you don't have little ones of your own to shop for. I buy toys every year. And fourth, next Sunday is our alternative Advent Market. And we have, I'd like to say we have everything from soup to nuts, but we actually have from soup to socks. We have coffee, fair trade coffee. We have fair trade handcrafted goods from all over the world. One World Goods is going to be with us this year. We have soup. This is Rita's Ragin' Cajun from Healthy Sisters here in Rochester. We have Girl Scout cookies. We have rice. We have the socks. We've got it all. Come and shop.
Senior highs, you don't have church school this morning, but we do encourage you to stay for the congregational meeting. We do have youth group, but the time has changed. It's from 2:30 to 5 today. We've got a great event. Please be there. And those of you who agreed to be Waldos, roam the Grease Ridge Mall between 3:15 and 4:15. Junior highs, you do have church school, but you don't have youth group because of your overnight. So thanks. See you around.
And hopefully our senior highs aren't the only ones who gather for the congregational meeting following worship, though I don't know, that might make for an interesting meeting. So please remember, grab your coffee and make your way back here to the sanctuary for the congregational meeting. And now, let us prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child.
Please stand if able for the call to worship. A branch begins to bud. A new day begins to dawn. A life begins to heal. A heart begins to open. Come, let us worship God.
Oh.
as we begin our waiting this Advent season, let us with humility and a spirit of love bring all our brokenness before God and one another. Lord, have mercy on us. We are not ready for your coming. We live in sin as though there were no justice. We live in fear as though there were no grace. We live in emptiness as though there were no hope. Forgive us, Lord. Promise of God's hope is fulfilled for us. Rejoice, rejoice, O come, Emmanuel.
I'd like to invite Sherry McFarlane and her two nephews, Alex and Nicholas, to light the candle, the first candle of the Advent wreath. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. A baby sent to us by God. A baby who scratches our imagination with promise. Do we dare to envision hope in the midst of our emptiness? And to gather around the manger. You can stand up. Let's make room for everybody. Good morning. This manger is for Jesus. Every year, Christians all over the world celebrate the birth of Jesus. Who knows what that day is called? Christmas, that's exactly right. It's on my birthday? Yeah, Christmas isn't my birthday, it's Jesus' birthday. My birthday's in September. Your brother's birthday is close to Christmas. Tommy, hey. Lots of birthdays in December, and Jesus' birthday is in December. This is lots of information. After Christmas. Okay, well... There are a lot of birthdays around Christmas. But is it Jesus' birthday yet?
No.
Is anybody in the manger yet? No. In fact, it's Advent. And Advent are the 4 weeks before Christmas, before Jesus' birth, when we get ready for Jesus' birth. So let's move over here. Well, actually, let's move. Where can we move? Wonder if this bale of hay will hold me.
I think so. So this will be fun. Let's sit down here. This morning in your Sunday school class, you're going to learn about a man who lived a long, long, long time ago. His name was Jeremiah.
I know that guy.
You know that guy? Oh, good. Well, that's excellent. Jeremiah lived at a time that was very sad. Because of war, all his neighbors and loved ones were sent to another country where they weren't treated very nicely, and they didn't have much food, and they didn't have jobs, and in some cases they were servants, and it made Jeremiah so sad. It also made God so sad. And so God came to Jeremiah and said, "Tell the people I love them very much, and I will send somebody to help them." And I'm thinking that the people that were so sad were happy to hear that news, but imagined maybe a powerful king riding in on a big horse with lots of swords. Or maybe they were thinking about somebody like Superman who could do anything. But what Jeremiah, the person that Jeremiah was talking about, was who? Who did God send to help us? Jesus. The little baby Jesus. And so Jeremiah said, "You will be helped, and God will send someone to help you." And it was the baby Jesus. Because God wanted the people to know that even though things are tough, and even though things are sad and hard, God always wins in the end. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for giving us hope. Hope that things get better, because you are always with us. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding in what is coming upon the world, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at a fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you come to see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon you who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things and that will take place, to stand before the Son of Man. May God have his blessing on his word.
From the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Yesterday, many of us turned our calendars to reveal the long-heralded month of the Christmas season. In the life of the church, we mark the beginning of a new year, and more recognizably, the season of Advent. Much, of course, has been said about the ways the secular and religious holiday are at odds with one another. The secular holiday season is one where consumer traditions overrun our materially stuffed world, hinging on that one important day, December 25th. In comparison, during the season of Advent, we gather week after week in worship to hear the stories dug from the harsh soil of human struggle and the littered landscape of empty hope, with no concrete timeline of when it will end. In those days, and at that time, the prophet Jeremiah partners with the apocalyptic imagery of endings and great calamities of Luke's gospel. It might cause us to shift a bit uncomfortably in our seats. And yet, strangely, at the same time, it brings to the surface these yearnings in our hearts for a promise worth waiting for. So every Sunday we come back, and we hear these strange stories, and we crane our necks like the children to peer into that empty manger. And we celebrate, and we remember that it won't be long. We believe that it will be filled with the hope of the world, Emmanuel, God. We hold that hope and those celebrations together with the reality of living in the here and the now of a world that still very much sounds and feels like the despair of the Israelite people. You see, the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the Israelite people who had long given up on hope, and they had given in to the despair of their own time. Years before, they had watched in disbelief as the Babylonian army destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, the city that they believed would be forever safe in the protection of God. Their magnificent temple, built by Solomon himself, had been reduced to a pile of rubble. And with their homes burning behind them, the Israelites were rounded up and forced to march on to Babylon, where they spent their days in servitude and their nights in tears. This despair lingered over them as they questioned everything
they had ever been taught. And for the Israelites, during the Babylonian exile, one of the chief tragedies was the end of the Davidic dynasty. For nearly 400 years, descendants of David had occupied the throne of Judah. And God had promised that it would always be that way. But the Babylonians destroyed David's temple, they had burned the temple, and David's heirs were taken into exile. The promises of God seemed to have come to an end, and they lived with this emptiness in their lives that nothing could ever really fill. Now, Jeremiah does not spend this short discourse, which our verses come from this morning and referred to by scholars as the little book of comfort, offering any kind of political, military, social, or economic solutions that will keep the people from falling off of a fiscal cliff, or any other kind of cliff for that matter. Jeremiah spends a good 30-some odd chapters leading up to these verses, and then 20 or more chapters after these verses, pointing out how the people got to the cliff and how they are now at the bottom of it, what it's like to be there. And those descriptions that Jeremiah includes, it's one of the longest books in the Bible, second only to the book of Psalms, describing how the destruction is more horrific and absolute than the people could have ever imagined. John Calvin imagines the context in these terms, that as the people were exposed to the slaughter, the children of God saw thousands of deaths, so that it could not be but that terror almost drove them to despair. And in their exile, they saw they were far from removed from their own country without any hope of return. It makes us shift uncomfortably. This is the despair of the exiled people. It is the despair of Africans ripped from their homeland in slavery, of Native Americans taken from their land, Jews fleeing from Hitler, children sold into the sex trade. It is the despair of refugees fleeing from the war-torn rubble of communities in Syria today. This kind of hopelessness stretches out over the centuries like a dark cloud, which everyone under it can barely imagine the sun shining again. And when faced with such atrocity, who would not despair? Reinhold Niebuhr associated despair with humanity's failed attempts to procure security for themselves, optimistically presenting that we are not subject to the vicissitudes of creatureliness. I love that. Vicissitudes of creatureliness. Despair is characterized by the obvious emptiness of hope. And we meet despair, all of us, in our own lives, when we cannot imagine being filled by God's promised alternative future. It is this kind of despair that the prophet Jeremiah lifts up. God's deep commitment to Israel and the hope for a future in which the Lord's own justice and righteousness will reside yet again with the people. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. All might seem lost, but God still is faithful. The house of David might be cut down, but God alone is able to bring life out of death. A branch will sprout. Historically, of course, the Davidic line did not return to the throne. So passages like the one this morning were in time interpreted to be speaking about the coming ideal ruler, the Messiah. That is certainly the reason this passage is one of the lectionary readings for this first Sunday in Advent. The descendant of David, who will execute justice and righteousness in the land, is the one whom we wait in this Advent season. And his salvation fills not just the emptiness in Judah and Jerusalem, but the whole world. So in emptiness, depression, illness, heartbreak, oppression, violence, failure, anxiety, burnout, or whatever reality is presented to you, reminding you of your creaturely vicissitude. We are acutely aware we are insufficient. Our reality is temporary, and that there are times in our lives where we can't imagine God's promised alternative future. And this truth scratches at us like straw pressed against our tender skin. And yet here we are, peering into this empty manger, waiting, wanting, longing for this hope to fill it again. A hope. A hope so fantastic and beyond our experience, so incredible, it cannot even be contained in a manger. Not even one this big. For we know the rest of the story, that hope will come, but hope will be quickly gathered into his mother's arms, escaping to a foreign land under the threat of execution, that hope will walk along the sea and up the mountain, healing the sick, comforting the bereaved, and proclaiming the promise that God's kingdom has come near. And that hope will gather around the table to share a meal with his friends, knowing he will be executed by the brokenness of this world. Hope. An empty tomb. An empty manger. The signs that this kind of hope cannot be contained, even by the darkest despair of our lives and this world. Hope that from beginning to end, in those days and these and the days to come, is a scratchy promise worth waiting for.
come. All of us who are waiting. Waiting with emptiness in our hearts to be filled with hope. And this is a place where you are all welcome. This is a place where you can be filled. Your emptiness can be filled with the bread of life. Our Savior is the one who invites all those who trust in Him to share in this feast which He has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with His disciples, He took the bread and He blessed it, He broke it, and He gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized the hope of the world. Friends, may the Lord of hope be with you.
And also with you.
Our hearts are waiting.
We wait for the Lord.
We prepare for Emmanuel.
Let us give thanks for God.
Holy One, you shaped creation and placed your grace within us. Your song of hope has rung out from ancient days, beckoning us to listen and join in. A young woman named Mary opened her heart to your song. She heard the promise that she would give birth. She heard the promise that this child would transform the world, and she believed. In the stillness of this Advent season, we wait and prepare as our hearts echo an ancient cry. O come, O come, Emmanuel.
Prayer for Emmanuel, God with us. We remember how this child, born in a stable, lived a life of healing, mercy, and wisdom. We remember a special meal shared with friends, gathering them together. Emmanuel spoke with boundless love. In the blessing of the bread, Emmanuel asked them to share the bread of life. In the blessing of the cup, Emmanuel asked them to share the cup of promise. Then Emmanuel asked us always to remember.
We remember your life, your words, your love.
As we share this bread and cup, strengthen our hope in the promise of this season, O God, and give us courage to live in the way of peace. Amen. And so we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered them around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength and hope. He took the common bread and he made it holy, just like he takes common people and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again. And as he did so saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took the wine and poured it in his cup. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
Friends, we break the bread and we drink the wine, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness and hope of Jesus Christ. This promise of new life for each of us and this whole world. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. is the body of Christ, broken by a world filled with despair. May it fill us with the hope of Christ's light and life.
Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me."
God, we keep looking. We keep looking for that hope. May this meal fill us with it, O God, that we may serve one another in love and joy in all that we say and do, now and always. Amen.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Testing. Okay. Jim Poole. I just wanted to thank everybody for their prayers. Sue's test come back negative. Thanks be to God, there is hope.
Thanks be to God.
Helen Priestley, I would ask for prayer for our friend Doug, who is dealing with serious heart problems.
Hi, Cam Mossgraber. I guess a couple prayers of hope fulfilled this week. One is for people who are hoping that the end of life for their loved ones can be peaceful, respectful, dignified. The Hildebrand Center celebrated their 5th year anniversary this week with great joy and celebration. And just again, every year it touches my heart when I see so many food boxes coming and being dropped off. I know for us and for me too, it's like, oh, I forgot, oh, you know. And it can be an annoyance to remember everything on the list. But for someone who takes those phone calls and says, I really want to give my children a nice Christmas dinner, where can I go? And I can turn around and say, call SWEM. And I know the food will be there. And call FoodLink. Thank you for fulfilling that hope.
Good morning, Eric Vail. I'm sure all of you will join me in wishing Marge Westfall a happy birthday tomorrow. 90-something. 94.
Happy birthday.
Tammy Tackling, I have a work client and friend who just found out he has lung cancer, so prayers to his family.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but tomorrow's Bill's birthday also. And
birthday to him.
And we're really, really thankful he's having another.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a very dear friend and brother in the Masons with me. He, 4 years ago, had lost half a lung to cancer and was given a clean bill of health. But he informed us last week that it's all back and permeated through him. And so get some prayers for Tom that he can hang around with us for a while anyway. Thank you.
And we have taught our children praying is a wonderful thing. They have many prayers to raise in worship this morning for a friend's dad who is in the hospital. Lots of prayers of joy for a Christmas tree. A prayer of hope that we don't have another green Christmas. A prayer of joy for an uncle's birthday. And prayers for good times with friends and families who are traveling. Also, prayers for our Christmas lists and a young child who wants a Bible for Christmas. I think we can do something about that. Prayers for a dad who is coming home. Prayers for a new baby. This one touched my heart from the first and second graders, written in their handwriting. I wish that the poor would stop.
And the Ward family asked for prayers. Tom's father is not doing well. Tom's with him now. Let us pray. God of hope, oh come, Emmanuel. Come into our lives, remind us once again that you are with us. For we confess that sometimes we feel overwhelmed by a world full of need. We yearn to be hopeful people, but fear and doubt creep into our minds, and we forget the promises of our faith story. We forget your gift of manna in the wilderness, of prophets in the exile, of a sacred supper in the shadow of death. And even though the world around us is shouting Christmas, we forget the hope of the Christ child lying in a manger. Restore us, renew us, remind us, O God, wrap us with Advent hope, so that the straw in the manger may begin to scratch our determination to be hope-filled people, understanding the promises of our faith, believing in the divine possibilities of your love. Oh, come, Emmanuel, into the lives of those we know who are going through challenging times. Comfort those who are grieving. Strengthen those who are sick. Show us ways and places where we can be your vehicles of love. And we ask that you hear us now, as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Heavenly Father, please receive these gifts of our tithes and of our offerings in a small portion of the bounty that you have given us. And let it be used in your service to help spread your word and
secure this troubled world and nation. And all this we pray in your holy name. Amen.
May we go from this place with the scratchy discomfort of God's hope as we live in the midst of this world filled with the grace and the light of God, the peace of Christ our Savior, and the hope of the Holy Spirit now and always. Alleluia. Amen.